Okay, welcome back to Hino's Home Show. We've missed you this week. It's been a while. We're glad that you've joined in and tuned in again this week. We are brought to you, as always, by the fine folks over at Accurate Mortgage Group. If you're looking to buy a house, you know, you're going to need to get some financing for it unless you're really lucky and have cash to pay, which is in which case I commend you for that. That's awesome. But if you don't, you're going to need a mortgage, and Accurate Mortgage is a great company to help you with that. You can find them at AccurateMTG.com, and they'll get you closed and back to life. We've got Encyclopedia Steve here as always. Steve, how's your week been so far?
It's been great, man. You know, the weather's starting to cool off a little bit, so I'm really enjoying that.
I love that. I love the cool weather. Fall, my favorite time of year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I'm not going to complain about it being hot because I come from where it's cold.
Yeah.
But it does feel good once it cools off a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we got a great show. We're going to be talking home security this week because that's something, especially with everything going on in the world today, that's something that's on a lot of people's minds. How do you protect yourself? How do you protect your house? How do you protect yourself when you're away from the house? So we thought we'd bring in an expert. We've got one of Nashville's finest here in the studio with us. We got Sergeant Edward Rucker. He's the West Precinct Community Coordinator for the Nashville Police Department. He joined the force way back in 2005, so he's been at it a long time, and he's been with the West Precinct for about 6 years now. His current position, of course, is Community Coordinator for the last year and a half or so, and we're just thrilled to death to have you on the show this week. Welcome to the show, Sergeant Edward Rucker.
Thank you for having me. It's an awesome opportunity to be here.
All right. So as Nashville grows, it almost seems inevitable that crime statistics will kind of grow along with that in neighborhoods all over the place. Let's just start with the basics again and talk about some of the best ways to deter burglars from even wanting to come to your house.
Absolutely. So, you know, what gets overlooked a lot of times when we talk about, you know, securing our homes is, the first thing. And that's just your property, your yard, you know.
Oh, your yard. Okay.
Absolutely. So, you know, you want to always make sure that, you know, your yard is, you know, trimmed, grass is cut, bushes and shrubs are not overgrown.
Why is that important?
Well, I mean, it just, you know, proves that there's some home ownership. And, you know, a lot of time burglars are just looking for properties that may not be well taken care of. But, you know, a trim yard, yards where bushes are taken care of, and yards where, you know, trees and shrubs are not blocking entrances and windows.
Okay.
That's just something, you know, a burglar could very easily take advantage of.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and that makes sense, too, because I'm sure a lot of criminals are looking for, you know, homes that are not occupied. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of them don't want to have a confrontation with someone. Correct. So if the house looks like it's overgrown and nobody's living there, then that's an easy target for them, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, you think about, shrubs and trees. We want to make sure on trees that the lowest branch is right at 6 feet. Anything, you know, under 6 feet, it's just something someone can get behind and hide. You know, shrubs, we want to make sure that, they're no higher than 2 feet off the ground.
Okay, just so that they can't have a boost to climb in a window. Absolutely. And that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Now, what time of day would you say statistically do most robberies in a home happen?
It's going to be during the daytime.
During the day. So usually when you're not home anyway.
Yes, sir. Well, most of us are at work or, you know, running errands, that's when, you know, unfortunately, these situations, they take place.
Because you would think at night, that's when everybody's scared, is at night. You know,
yeah.
What was that sound? You know, what was that? You know?
Yep.
So during the day, then it doesn't do you any good to leave lights on and that kind of thing. Because that's usually what people do at night, is they have the lights going on and off, make it look like somebody's there.
Absolutely.
What can you do in the daytime along those lines?
Well, you know, I think we'll get into neighborhood watch programs, but you want to always just make sure, family, friends, anyone in the area that's trusted is looking out for your place. You want to make sure always, you know, your curtains and things like that are closed. There's no visible packagings left out where someone would just easily be like
good old Amazon.
Porch pirate. So things like that just help lower the chances of you being a victim.
That's probably happening more and more and more. Absolutely. These days.
Absolutely.
Can you guys actually find or catch anybody when they get caught on like one of those security cameras and you get a picture of them? Does that help at all?
It helps out tremendously. The different wireless systems that they have now, like, you know, Ring, Arlo, just to name a couple, are just invaluable for us because it gives us that data, that information in real time. So not only do we know, obviously, there's been a theft, but we know what the bad guy or bad bad woman looks like, what they're wearing, maybe a direction of travel that they left in. So, I mean, those systems are just invaluable.
Now, is there anything that people can do to try to avoid a porch pirate? Funny word, but I love using that. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that people can do, like reach out to, you know, FedEx or UPS or whoever the places are, maybe like set up something that they can have their packages delivered in? Like, what kind of things can people do to try and prevent that from even happening in the first place?
Well, what I just recently saw in Bellevue at a MAPCO, Amazon Prime has these like boxes, secure boxes on their property where the Amazon delivery driver will deliver the package there.
It's like a drop box.
Absolutely. It's a secure location where your package is delivered. That way, only you are just, you're equipped with a code or a password to go and retrieve your package. Definitely good neighbors. Good neighbors are just priceless because not only do they, you know, can look out for packages that are delivered to your house, but to just look after your home just in general. So you can also reach out to Amazon, FedEx, and have deliveries maybe just sent to an office or sent to maybe a nearby one of their like substations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I know that Amazon has a program, or maybe it's a pilot program, where they'll install a special lock on your house, like one of those kind with a combination. Mm-hmm. And Amazon has a special code. And what they'll do is they'll open your door and just put it inside the door and leave. Yes. So they don't actually come in, but they have permission to open your door, put your package inside and leave.
Mm-hmm. You know, I got to say, that makes me really nervous.
It makes me nervous, too, because how many people are going to be out there in, like, counterfeit Amazon outfits, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not only that, like, once they get into your house, like, do you set up an additional camera? But then at that point, like, you're just recording something after it's already happened. So, I don't know. You know, I have heard about that before, but that is something that makes me nervous. I think I would just have to do a little bit more research on what you can do to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say to people who like are like, I don't need to get a home security system. I'll just get the sign and stick it in my front yard because then everybody will think that I got it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's ultimately their choice. I mean, we do know a lot of homes that we respond to that have the signs left by the previous homeowner.
Yeah.
And when they really don't have an alarm, studies and stats just show that. You know, homes that are burglarized are just more likely not to have an alarm.
Okay.
So, I mean, we don't recommend it. We certainly recommend you get some form of an alarm. There's a lot of options out there that are very, affordable. And, I mean, you can really go off into the high-end realm if that's what you choose to do. So,
Well, as far as home security systems go, there are so many. Mm-hmm. And being on the side of the fence where you respond to these things, are there any home security systems that are more a pain in your rear than others with false alarms and that kind of thing?
Honestly, they're all pretty much are the same.
Really?
I mean, you have alarms that are affected by just nature, animals. You know, we have this one house in our precinct footprint where there's this bird that once it sees its reflection, it likes to just tap on the window.
Oh, so okay.
It triggers the window glass break.
Oh no.
Feature. So I mean, they're all pretty much, and
you wouldn't even think about that when you're there's going to be a bird come and tap on my window.
You know, what's funny though, actually, at a previous office location that we used to work at, we had big glass windows and for whatever reason, like 2 or 3 months out of the year, this bird would always come and just tap on the window and tap on the window.
Yeah.
And he used to drive me nuts. And I think it actually is something to do with like migrating season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like they see other birds and they freak out. So they see their reflection and think it's another bird.
My dog will do that at night. He'll go to the front window, see his reflection in the glass, and just bark his head off. And it's like, dude, that's you. You
know? Yeah, right?
And knock it off.
You know, dogs are also a really good deterrent, too.
Oh, true.
Yeah, we have two little dogs, and one of them is quiet. She never barks. And the other one is, like, even smaller, and she is so loud. And when people even walk by, she just barks her head off. And she sounds really scary, but she's really not, and a great dog. But
in my opinion, the best alarm you can have is a dog.
Any particular breed, or does it matter?
I'm biased as a cop. I would say a German Shepherd, but
that was my first dog growing up was a German Shepherd.
Yeah, I like German Shepherds a lot.
Can't go wrong with a Shepherd.
Sure, yeah. Very loyal.
Yeah.
Well, we went the other way this time. We've got a small little Shih Tzu, so he's like 8 pounds. So he's not going to really, you know, do much protecting other than barking.
Yeah.
And then it's not very scary at that. So,
yeah,
but at least it'll know you, you know, alert other people that there's, absolutely, you know, that there's somebody at the door.
Absolutely.
You know, whenever a package gets delivered, I usually find out first from him because
yeah,
he starts barking, you know,
absolutely.
It's true.
How do you deal with a dog when you go to a, when you go to a property and you have to respond to a call? Typically dogs are kind of scared of people in uniform, at least at first, if they're not, haven't been around them before. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that so that, you know, you don't have to do something bad to the dog?
Well, most of the time, if not all the time, we get those type of alarms. They're motion tripped. And, you know, the dispatchers will, you know, they do a, just a great job of keeping us advised on, you know, motion in the house, where the motion is coming from. And okay, so once we get there and, you know, we, you know, check the perimeter of the house just to make sure there's obviously no visible signs of injury, you know, we'll, you know, make our way to, you know, a door and obviously, you know, try to make contact with the homeowners. And a lot of times just through a window, you can see, you know, a 15, 20 pound golden retriever or some form of a dog just barking. And, you know, more than likely, again, if there's no signs of forced entry, the motion is being tripped by the actual animal.
Okay.
So, you know, as long as the animal doesn't appear to be in any kind of distress,
yeah,
then we're just checking with the dispatchers, let them know that okay, there's a dog here on premise, and they will, again, send that information back to the alarm company so that the homeowners know.
Gotcha.
It's been checked out.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, then I guess now's a good time to take a break. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk a whole lot more home security. We're going to talk about security away from the home. So you come on back to Hino's Home Show right after this. Welcome back to Hino's Home Show. We are talking home security this week, and we got one of Nashville's finest. We got Sergeant Edward Rucker here in the studio with us to kind of help us figure out all the different aspects of security, not only at home, but when you're away from home. I guess one of the big questions is, lately, there's been a lot more people filing for concealed carry permits, maybe buying a firearm to protect themselves at the house. What advice would you give to somebody who's thinking about buying a weapon to protect themselves at home and maybe have never owned one before?
Definitely go to, you know, a good reputable place where you can train. You just want to know what that gun feels like when you discharge it, when you're firing that weapon. You know, unfortunately, going to purchase weapons at a gun shop or a gun show, you know, it's one thing. But when you have to use it, you want to be comfortable.
Right.
You want to be very, very familiar with this weapon, just in and out, what it feels like, you know, kind of develop muscle memory is what we call when using it.
Yeah, because I would imagine if you're in a situation where you find yourself having to use it, adrenaline's going to be absolutely pumping. You might not be thinking as clearly absolutely as you would normally.
Absolutely.
And if you've never actually fired a darn thing before, bad things might happen.
Absolutely. I mean, let's just put ourselves in the shoes of someone fast asleep in their home. They hear, you know, a noise or their dog, you know, going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a situation where you have, you know, a wife or your children in a place that you're trying to protect, you know, you go from being fast asleep to just absolutely just startled. So, you know, you want to know, again, with this weapon that you can use it fairly confidently.
Now, are there any benefits of one type over the other? Let's say handgun versus a shotgun versus, you know, a BB gun, your slingshot, you know?
Sure. Well, I mean, handguns come in all sorts of calibers.
Right.
So, I mean, you want to have something that if you live alone and it's just you, then you're okay. But what if it's a situation where your better half has to use this thing
right
inside of your home to protect your family? So those are things to consider. If you have, you know, a larger weapon, a rifle or shotgun, and someone else has to unfortunately be called into service to use this thing, it could be difficult for them to handle.
Yeah,
I see. So really, anybody who potentially would be using it in your family, they should also do absolutely some training and be comfortable with it.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. 100%.
And I would argue children as well, at some point, need to be taught how to properly use it, just because it's when they don't know how to use it that maybe bad accidents can happen.
Yeah,
and of course keep it locked up and all that sort of thing.
Well, yeah. So what sort of things, if a homeowner is new to handling weapons and that sort of thing, or maybe somebody who's done it for a long time but hasn't you know, really thought about this in a while, what sort of things can homeowners do to have access to their weapon but also keep it locked up and secure to prevent, you know, accidents from happening with children or pets and that sort of thing?
Great question. And the answer to that is, you know, some form of a lockbox. They make them in all different sizes and, you know, places where you can safely place them near your bed or under like a dresser or, you know, cabinet. They make them obviously now where it's fingerprint.
Right.
You just put your fingerprint on it and it opens up. And, you know, obviously they have the ones where you can access it through a key, but definitely for safety issues, especially when there's children, because children just find a way to get into everything.
Right.
You want to make sure that this storage box is certainly secure.
Yeah. My folks had it really figured out because I knew there were weapons in the house and there were some that I knew where they were, you know, but I was taught to shoot early on so that they didn't have that fascination of, hey, let's go see what it is, because I already knew, right? But they had other ones hidden in the house that I didn't find out about until I was an adult.
Yeah.
Like there was a picture frame by the front door that actually opened up and there was a weapon behind it. And there was like a little compartment there.
Oh, wow.
That one time after I was an adult, my mom had to like pull out because somebody was trying to break in the house. But and that's when I found out that it was even there. I'm like, what? Yeah. All those years and I never knew it, you know. Yeah. So they did a good job of keeping that secret.
Well, she didn't tell you in case she had to use it against you.
Yeah, and she probably would have threatened to. Or she mostly just did the wait till you have your own kids, that whole threat, you know.
Definitely having, you know, weapons in the bedroom, you know, stuffing it under the mattress and, you know, sleeping with it under your pillow. You know, a lot of people do things like that. But
yeah, that sounds scary.
It's very scary. And
because you don't know what you're doing while you're sleeping, rolling around, you know.
Absolutely. Right.
Well, yeah, and actually that made me think of another question. So I've had friends anecdotally who, you know, they keep their gun locked up when they're not at home. They come home and when they're getting ready for bed, they'll, you know, fill it with some bullets and basically have it locked and loaded in case they need it and just set it on the table next to them.
Yeah.
Does it make more sense to do something like that so it's ready to use immediately, or for safety purposes, maybe doing something a little bit less that can easily be, you know, fixed so that it's ready to go when you need it? I mean, is there like a recommendation for that?
Well, I mean, comfort level is one thing. Again, if you're living alone and there's no, you know, chance a small child's going to walk into the room in the middle of the night after a bad dream, you're fine. But I just wouldn't. I never would, because, I mean, you know, if you have an intruder in your home, let's just say they make it up to your bedroom. Look what's laying right there. You know, I mean, you could be fast asleep. So the element of surprise is, you know, you just can't state how important that is, just to make sure the gun is out of sight, you know, out of mind for.
Plus, if anybody breaks in, you don't want it easy to find that they might steal it and use it in a crime. You know, that would stink too.
Now, what about like non-lethal self-defense?
Sure. Tasers, you know, chemical spray, things like that, you know, stun guns. I mean, those are also great options for homeowners that are just not comfortable with guns.
Well, you read about different police departments around having rubber bullets and that kind of thing. Is that something that's available to the average person?
Rubber bullets? I don't know.
Because that's like not as lethal or probably not lethal. I don't know.
Yeah.
Paintball. I don't know.
I know. I was just thinking that too. The paintball, like, you know, tag them up.
Make them think they got shot with a red paintball. I don't know.
Yeah. Now I shop at a few gun shops and stores here in Nashville, and I've never seen.
Well, I was just wondering.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. It's possible.
All right. Well, God forbid you should find yourself in a situation where you actually did have to discharge a weapon. Mm-hmm. What's the protocol? Because obviously at some point the police are going to show up.
Sure.
Let's say that just happened. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Well, I mean, obviously get to a safe location. I mean, if you're just talking about you just discharge your firearm.
And let's say you had to shoot an intruder. The intruder's been dealt with.
Right.
But now you call the police.
Right. Get to a safe location. You want to get to a safe location and obviously call us. Let us know where you are. Let us know where the perpetrator is. So that we can get there and obviously, you know, do what we need to do.
What do you need to do to make sure that when the police do arrive, that they don't mistake you for the bad guy, you know, because you've got this weapon. So what are your recommendations for the homeowner to, what do? You go put it away, or do you need to keep it where it was for evidence, or?
No. I mean, you're not thinking that. I mean, obviously you're talking about a very, just a terrible incident situation. And in real life, a dispatcher is going to stay on the phone with you until we get
and there. Ask you all those questions.
Absolutely. Okay. It's going to make sure, hey, that you go to a safe place. Obviously, when you see us, you know, we would prefer you not to have it in your hands. As officers, when we respond to situations like that, scenes like that, you know, we're just trained to look at hands.
Sure.
You know, absolutely. So to make sure.
And that's not what you want to see in somebody's hand.
No.
Yeah.
No, never. You never want to see that.
Okay. What's the protocol then for when you are allowed to pull your weapon out and when you're not? Let's say when you're at home.
So, you know, the word you're looking for is intimate danger.
Okay.
You know, you're looking at a person that has come into your space. Mm-hmm. They're in your home. They've crossed over the threshold of an entry point, I mean, door, window, however they got in.
Is just the fact that they're in your home enough, or do they have to be actively threatening you?
No, just the fact that they're in your home.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, an intruder in your home, you know, is obviously fair game to defend yourself.
Sure.
So if that's with, you know, a firearm, with one of the non-lethal devices we just talked about, mm-hmm. broom handle, anything you can pick up.
You know, you mentioned a couple of times the element of surprise. Mm-hmm. So is it wise to announce yourself to the intruder and say, absolutely. I have a weapon, get out of my house?
Absolutely.
Or, yeah?
Absolutely.
Probably a good first start.
Yeah.
I would imagine. Yeah. Now, what about having, once you leave the house, about having a gun in the car? What's the protocol there? Do you have to have a concealed carry permit to have the gun in the car, or what's the situation?
Well, now the law says that your vehicle is an extension of your home.
Okay.
So, So as long as the weapon is in your vehicle, you know, you can have it there.
But if you leave the vehicle with it, you better have a permit. Absolutely. If it's concealed.
Yes, sir.
Although we are an open carry state. We were talking about that earlier. Mm-hmm. That's not highly recommended.
Open carry? No, I would not, nor I don't think any officer would, encourage, you know, our citizens to open carry. I mean, the whole purpose of a concealed handgun permit is for it to be concealed.
And to have the element of surprise.
Yes, sir.
So you as an officer, if you're like walking out and about and you see somebody walking around with a sidearm strapped to their side, open carrying, mm-hmm. does that make you nervous as a police officer?
Sure.
Yeah.
Weapons, yeah, absolutely. That's just me being honest with you. I mean, weapons make people feel uncomfortable. And we have to remember that as officers, when we walk in public and we go about our daily duties, that people, a great number of people, just don't feel comfortable around weapons.
Right. So. Let me ask you this. Let's say you have a permit, mm-hmm. And you get pulled over for, you know, speeding or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. whatever you might have gotten pulled over for. If you are, let's say, carrying, and you hand the officer your license and your permit, mm-hmm. what's likely to happen at that point?
You know, if it's just speeding.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, I don't know why an officer would be checking.
Would the officer want to see the weapon or ask you to step out of the car, that kind of thing?
No.
Okay.
No.
So they don't necessarily need to disarm you.
No. I mean, and keep in mind, we're talking about a citizen that's, you know, not giving the officer any reason to feel uncomfortable.
Right. You weren't just driving 100 miles down the road, maybe. But if maybe you were going 10 miles over the limit or something, you know.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. That's awesome information. We do need to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more here on Hino's Home Show. So you come on back. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Hino's Home Show. We are brought to you by the fine folks over at Accurate Mortgage Group. They will help you buy a house or refinance a house. Go check them out at accuratemtg.com. We are talking security, home security, auto security, just, you know, basically being safe when you're just living your daily life. And we've got an expert here with us from the Metropolitan Police Department, Nashville PD. We got Sergeant Edward Rucker here joining us. So thanks again for joining us.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Rucker. Even though these topics might be scary, we kind of touched on it a little bit in the last segment, but having children in the house, what are some of the things that you would recommend teaching children how to react if there is an intruder in the house?
Yeah.
What should they do?
Well, the good thing about children is, I mean, they're fast learners. And, you know, children, from the time we take them to daycare to preschool, elementary school, you know, they do fire drills and things of that nature, what to do in a time of emergency. And it's no different in our homes. And, you know, although sometimes it's impractical, we need to have a plan so that when situations like this happen, they kind of have an idea of what to do and what to expect. And, you know, you always have to keep in mind that if we're talking about an intruder in our homes, it doesn't have to be in the middle of the night. It can happen at any time. So, you know, having a plan of if this happens, this is what we're going to do. This is where we're going to go. Okay. Once we're in a safe space, this is what you can expect. Making sure that they know, you know, to be as quiet as possible. Mm-hmm. If it's a situation where it's obviously happened in the middle of the night, you know, imagine just getting yourself kind of together really, really fast. But, I mean, you have to go and get a child that's fast asleep, you know,
right.
Depending on how right. old they are. I mean, that's just, you know, a very strange, if not very stressful situation for them. So having a plan, I would just say make sure you have a plan, practice that plan.
Or let's say they're even just playing in the front yard and somebody walks up and says, hey, your sure. mom said I should come get you or something. I don't know.
Absolutely. I mean, I know some families that have passwords and codes for their children. So, you know, let's just say.
How would that work?
Well, you know, it's just something you, again, you practice and you talk to your family over dinner or just at a family meeting that, hey, if anybody ever comes up to you and they don't tell you a certain password or code.
The secret word is pineapple.
Absolutely. It's clown. A lot of kids don't like clowns. I mean, it's
something really random.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I don't have kids yet. Mm-hmm. Hopefully at some point that happens. Mm-hmm. But as a new parent or someone who doesn't have kids yet, are there resources? Like, are there pamphlets or books or anything that they can, you know, look up or find somehow to get an idea of these are all the things that we should go through from a safety standpoint?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you know, you can always call, obviously, here in Nashville, any precinct. All precincts have community coordinators like myself, and we'll be happy to come to your home and talk to, you know, your family, because that's just what we do. We're just
I didn't even know that was available.
No, absolutely.
That's great.
That's our jobs. I mean, we are pretty much just a resource between the police department, our elected city officials, to make sure our citizens have everything that they need to feel safe in their home. So call whichever precinct that you live in, Nashville, and ask to speak to their community coordinator.
Okay. So I have my youngest is a boy, mm-hmm. and like a lot of little boys, they love their little plastic toy guns and mm-hmm. when they're out there playing, you know, cops and robbers and all that kind of thing. So any advice for children, especially boys, playing with toy guns when they're out and about, and let's say a police officer drives by?
Absolutely. The number one thing is make sure that these children are being supervised in mm-hmm. every way. Absolutely every way. So that when things like, you know, a police officer passing by or just a neighbor or just a walker, a jogger could be passing by and all they see is just a kid playing with a gun.
Right.
If you're out there with them, then that's going to, you know, obviously put them at ease a little bit more and, you know, certainly prevent, you know, something crazy or just something just strange from happening. But
yeah, I told my son, because he has one that he was playing with that looks almost like a real gun, but the front is all orange. So it's, you know, clearly not a gun.
Sure.
Yeah. But I told him, hey, if you ever see a police officer drive by, they don't know, you just drop it.
Right.
Because just to be safe, you know? Right. And I didn't know that had sunk in until a few weeks later. He was out in the front yard playing, and the Nolensville Police Department just kind of cruised through the neighborhood, and they drove by, and he was running, he stopped, he dropped it, and just waved at the officer.
That's awesome.
You know? And as soon as the officer turned the corner and went away, he picked up his gun and kept playing. And I thought, all right, that's cool. You know?
Yeah.
He heard me.
That's awesome.
Probably the only time, but he heard me.
Well, I mean, it's like he said, you know, kids are quick learners, so apparently that one just sunk in.
Kids are very quick learners.
All right. So people love putting everything on social media these days. Mm-hmm. So what kind of information do you recommend not putting on social media to keep yourself safe?
Well, you know, one thing, if you're out of town on vacation and, you know, you're taking pictures with your family on the beach or wherever you are, you know, really do your best not to post them to your page, because that just advertises that you're not at home.
Right. Yeah. You're kind of announcing. You know, yeah. You know. And how hard is it for somebody who wants to rob your house to find out where you live?
Ooh, with technology today, I mean, it's not hard at all.
Yeah.
I mean, a robber or a bad guy that's done just a little bit of research can look at a picture and say, well, they're not here.
They're in Cancun or something. Yeah.
Not taking anywhere near here. So you want to just make sure, again, you just wait until you get back home to post things like that on social media.
Does that, now would that apply also to just being out and about in the evening, like you're posting a picture from the Titans game or something, you know?
Cause, Absolutely. I mean, wherever you go, I mean, to the park, I mean, you know, at Wave Country, wherever you go, just make sure.
So what I hear you saying then is that social media is evil and we should get rid of it.
No.
No. I thought for sure that's what I heard you say.
No, sir. I didn't say that.
Yeah. Okay.
Social media certainly has its positives, but it can work against you.
Yeah, that just makes sense. Just make sure you have a time delay.
Yeah,
you know, kind of like they do on live TV. It's always 3 minutes behind. Post it.
There you go.
Lots of stuff posting. I'm home and I'm dangerous.
Absolutely,
stay away.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. In my case, that might not work. You know? Oh man. So let's say you're approached by somebody who's saying that they're a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to verify that you actually are dealing with a real police officer?
So, at least here in Nashville, we all have, you know, our, you know, different levels of identification.
Mm-hmm.
You can always ask for them. You know, I have mine in my pocket that I'll show you. We have our badges. We have other, these IDs that we keep on our persons to.
Oh, wow. You got a lot of them.
Yeah. To provide people with just who we are. You can always, you know, call our dispatchers and, you know, ask them, hey, do you have a police officer working right now in my area? So, mm-hmm. I mean, we all, once we're out on calls, can be tracked by our dispatchers. We can give, the citizens our employee numbers, which are basically like a social security number.
Okay.
To identify who we are. So,
okay.
Yeah. Don't be shy about asking. Ask us to identify ourselves.
Now, would you recommend that? I mean, this might be especially true for a single female who's out and about. Mm-hmm. I don't mean single as in unmarried, but just by themselves.
Sure.
And if, let's say, they get pulled over.
Sure.
Would you recommend going through all of that when the officer comes up to the vehicle? Asking for their identification and all that sort of thing?
If she felt uncomfortable, sure. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I understand with where we are in today's world. People going the extra step to ask those critical questions if they just don't feel comfortable, especially if they're being pulled over in an unmarked car.
A
car that's not just traditionally striped. It's a Metro Nashville Police Department. If it's an unmarked car without that traditional, language on the car, absolutely. Ask all the questions you want. In fact, as far as their safety, you know, I would always recommend them making sure they stop at a well-lit place where there are other people that can be a witness.
Well, let me ask you that. So then let's say, you know, you're driving along and you see the lights in the rearview mirror,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, logic would say, okay, I got to pull over right away. But what if there's not a good spot and you see a parking lot that's like, you know, a block or two up the road and you say, okay, I'm going to go there because it's well lit. Mm-hmm. Will the officer get upset that you kept driving for a couple of blocks
or
is there a way to signal them to tell you, hey, I'm going to go up there?
Yeah. Just, you want to make sure you slow down to, you know, like a school zone speed,
put your
emergency flashers on.
Okay. That lets them know that, you know, they're there.
Yes. So obviously, you know, as police officers, our training academy does a great job to train our guys and girls to make sure we're pulling, stopping people in good positions for us, because it's obviously a danger and a safety hazard for us to get out in bad spots as well. So
I'm always amazed that I've seen people pulled over on the side of the highway before, and that just, that's scary,
especially on the left side of the highway.
I mean, for both y'all, that's scary because people don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially if that's the fast lane too.
Right. You know? Right.
Everybody's already going faster.
Oh my goodness. Well, listen, we need to take one more break, but we're going to come back with more of our time with Sergeant Edward Rucker of the Nashville PD. And we'll be back, right?
The NYPD?
NYPD. Yeah. Hey. We'll be back on High Nose Home Show. All right, welcome back to Hino's Home Show. It's the perfect we are talking security and all things that involve keeping safe around the house. We are brought to you by the fine folks at Accurate Mortgage Group. Find them at AccurateMTG.com, and they'll get you closed and back to life. We got joining us in the studio here, Sergeant Edward Rucker of the Nashville Police Department. So one thing that all of us have to deal with at some point are neighbors. Mm. And sometimes those neighbors can be great, and sometimes those neighbors can be very not great. So, which is at which point I guess you guys get called more often than not. So focusing on the neighborhood now, what are some of the common complaints that you get as far as neighbor on neighbor disputes, and how would you recommend that most people handle them?
I guess the biggest complaint for law enforcement, we get loud music, parking issues.
Parking.
You know, believe it or not, a lot of HOA issues, neighbors not cutting their grass.
They call the police for that? Really?
Yes, sir. They will. Yes, sir. Absolutely. They will call the police for just about anything. So it's always an open book as far as calls for service. So, you know, a lot of times when we go out, it's just a simple conversation.
Yeah.
You know, just sometimes we, you know, just don't feel comfortable approaching a neighbor we've had one or two disagreements with. And if they have an issue, if it's a criminal offense.
I guess that's the line. There's just being a jerk, and then there's actually breaking a law.
Right.
They aren't necessarily the same.
Right. If it's a criminal offense, like, well, they're intimidating me, they're threatening me, that's when we can, you know, obviously step in and assist and provide services. But we just have to, unfortunately, have that to get involved. It has to be just a criminal offense.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. You mentioned parking. That actually was an issue in our neighborhood. A lot of the newer developments around town, they don't build the streets wide enough. Mm-hmm. They just don't. And so if you got a car or two parked there, sometimes you can't get through. Let alone an emergency vehicle. Let's say you had to call an ambulance or something, and there's a car parked on both sides of the street, you can't get through. So they just recently changed the law in our neighborhood, so now you can only park on one side of the street. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can't park in front of my own house at this point. Wow. But that's fine, because I know that I can always, or the emergency people can always get down the street.
I mean, if I'm honest, though, I would rather everybody park on my neighbor's.
Yeah, absolutely. So at least I have I'm okay access. With that. I'm just thinking ahead to when my youngest starts driving, and it's like, where am I going to put that third car, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's only two spots in the driveway, you know?
You know, it's funny you say that when you were mentioning a lot of new neighborhoods and how they build things. One of the things I've noticed is they usually don't have big driveways anymore.
Yeah.
It's almost like the house is right next to the street.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to park in the living room.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Now, you mentioned about, like, you know, someone being a jerk or there being criminal activity, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Should, let's say someone's at home and the neighbor is having loud music, should that person go over to the neighbor's house and politely ask them to be quiet, or should they just go ahead and call someone like yourself and, you know, have you go have that conversation? Or is it kind of a gray area?
We will never, as a police department, ask citizens to ever do anything where they don't feel comfortable.
Okay.
Ever. You know, a lot of times when we're brought into it, it's because they've had one or two bad, you know, situations or events with this neighbor, so they don't feel comfortable. So, you know, if it's late at night, which most of the time that's when this is, they're trying to go to sleep or they're trying to put their kids to sleep and they're, you know, partying a little bit too much or too loud, you know, call us. I'm never going to ever disencourage people from calling us. Call us. That's what we're there for. That's what we're here for.
The only thing I can think of is fireworks when it's way past 4th of July. It's like August already, and these people are still shooting up fireworks at 11 at night. It's like, come on, man. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, if you do happen to hear gunshots, I mean, I guess this would probably be an issue more in a rural area where it might be okay to, like, you know, target practice in your yard or if you've got a big chunk of land. What's your suggestion for that? I mean, you don't want to be called out every time something goes off, or do you recommend that if somebody's going to be target practicing that they call you and let you know first?
No, I mean, it's obviously if they're out in that kind of that urban service district where it's legal to discharge firearms, and I mean, they don't have to call us, but I mean, as a courtesy, I would certainly at least let their neighbors know.
Okay.
I certainly strongly, you know, advise that, just to, you know, keep the peace. And a lot of homeowners that live in that area to some degree expect to hear some firing, some gunshots and things like that. So just always just let your neighbors know, man. You can't go wrong being neighborly, because I mean, you're, you know, as far as home security, you're only as safe as, you know, what your neighbors are doing when you're away from home. You know, it's your neighbors more than likely going to be the ones to see something to alert us. So, you know, just keep good friendships and relationships with your neighbors.
Well, speaking of neighbors, what about neighborhood watch groups?
Oh, yeah.
How effective are they? Are they great. Worth the time to try to create?
Yes, they're wonderful. You know, we, you know, anytime you can have more eyes on your street, the better.
Okay.
And neighborhood watch is just what it is. It's just neighbors coming together to watch where you live. We're not asking neighbors to...
I've never been in one, so I'm not exactly sure what they do. So what is a good neighborhood watch program? How is it put together? What do they do exactly?
So you have basically, you know, a captain or, you know, chief, however you want to say it, and then you have other members that work alongside with him. And, you know, it's just almost like a rotational base you know, situation where, you know, you watch the street today, you watch it tomorrow.
And are they actually physically out there watching the street?
Sure.
Like all night long or?
No, not all night long, but just, you know, from your porch.
Okay.
Some neighborhood watch communities actually have, you know, cars that have like little, just, you know, little signs. You go to Johnson's or any sign shop and make this, it just says neighborhood watch. Drives around with flashers on. And it's just basically just cruising your neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
We never asked neighborhood watch committees or members to ever take action.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, again, eyes on the street in real time just to be aware of what's going on in your community. And the biggest plus to neighborhood watch is, you know, we work alongside with them. We're sharing up-to-date information with what's going on in their community. We're making sure they know about burglaries. We're making sure they know about thefts, not only just in their community, but surrounding communities.
Okay.
So that they know, because crime patterns, as we've seen, you know, they travel. You know, bad guys don't have borders. They go wherever they're successful, you know.
Sure.
So if you have a lot of vehicles that are left unlocked and have valuables in them, they're more likely to come back to that community just because they, you know, they're successful.
Some loot there, yeah.
Yeah.
So what other reasons, other than deterring crime, what other reasons might be beneficial for starting a neighborhood watch program?
Just getting to know your neighbors.
Okay.
Just getting to know them. Just getting to know them, their families, their kids. You know, that's the greatest benefit, I think. Some very good neighborhood watches in West Precinct, and they do just excellent jobs of just having and hosting, you know, pre-COVID, you know, neighborhood watch parties and just, you know, events where they just keep up with each other. And, you know, they share information with each other with what's going on. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest benefit of Neighborhood Watch.
Now, does the police department offer any sort of tools to help people start a Neighborhood Watch program?
Yes, so we do. We work with them again, and it's just it's an information based program we come out with, and like I said, get to meet just those individuals that's going to be putting on this information. I mean, obviously, yeah, definitely the website you can go to, you know, and look up.
So the Nashville Police Department is at Nashville.gov / Police Department.
Yes, sir.
And then there's some home. Neighborhood watch programs
yes,
there.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Oh, so like if we didn't want to start one necessarily, if there was already one in our neighborhood, we could go on the website and find that?
No, I think actually it has tools for what to do to start
to do.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. Cool.
They kind of give you some tips and things. So that's kind of good. They kind of guide you because I wouldn't have the first idea.
Yeah.
You know, where to start.
So let's just say it's a neighborhood of, you know, a great size. Let's just say it's 100 homes.
Okay.
You know, we recommend the neighborhood watch committee be less than, you know, 30 people, because you just don't.
Oh, that's a lot of folks. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. You don't want too many people just necessarily on the committee, because it just gets
too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too many irons in the fire. Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Too many players on the team.
Absolutely.
Too many M&Ms in the... Nah, I'm just going down.
You can never have too many M&Ms.
Nah, what was I thinking? Yeah. Well, so where can people find out more about you? And if they wanted to reach out to you, what's some good contact information
for
you?
Yes, sir. It's edward.rucker@nashville.gov.
All right.
And, you know, my direct... phone line is 615-880-1760. I would, love to connect with, everyone here in Nashville. And if you don't live in West Precinct, I can certainly get you in touch with other community coordinators to come out and talk to you. And, we do free home site surveys for homes. So, here's one right here where I brought with us. And it's basically just 60 questions from, again, your property, your yard, to your home. We go through if you have good reinforced locks and making sure that, your garage doors are secure. We make sure, the windows are secure. We look at your alarm system, whatever we can do to assist to make your home more secure, the better. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We've had a great, great time.
Yes, sir.
You can also find the Metro Nashville Police Department on Facebook at
yes,
Metro Nashville Police Department.
Yes, sir.
Very creative name they came up with there. That's great. Kind of straight to the point. You can find us at HinosHomeShow.com. We would love to hear from you. So until we meet again next week, you have a great week.
Accurate Mortgage Group, a division of Acopia LLC, is an equal housing lender, NMLS 4664, and a MLS 1666140.